Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Well, my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going out there?
I'm doing all right, man. You know, busy day, you know. I want to wish everybody, happy Good Friday that passed yesterday. And, of course, happy Easter, which is going to be in an hour from now. As we speak. And yeah, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. The current state of the Knicks as the season mercifully ended. What's going on with the Mets and the Knicks, Mets and the Yankees. The WWE superstar shakeup, and much, much more. But first, we talk sports and entertainment, but, you know, I feel, you know, we'd be remiss if we don't mention the recent passing of, you know, Charlie Murphy, which is, you know, ironically, this song was from Beverly Hills Cop, which starred his younger brother, Eddie Murphy. Ironically, but... Of course, Charlie Murphy is a, you know, well-known comedian. Most notably, he was in Chappelle's Show, where he was a writer and, you know, actor, and sharing his true stories about, you know, Prince and, you know, of course, Rick James, and such a young guy, you know. You know, sad to see he passed away, you know. Hopefully, you know, he R.I.P., for him.
Yeah, man, it's you know, we all know him from Chappelle's Show, of course, but, you know, Eddie's older brother by a year, I think, you know. Not that, you know, when I first heard of Chandler, I thought he was like 5 years older, or, you know, 10 years older than Eddie Murphy, but he's only 1 year older than Eddie Murphy. Yeah. So, you know, but yeah, we've come to know him from the Chappelle Show due to his, you know, stories about Rick James and Prince, and, you know, his encounters with those celebrities while he was on tours with his brother Eddie Murphy at the time, when Eddie Murphy was big in the 80s and early 90s. So, yeah, man, it's a sad day. I mean, the guy was a funny guy, and we had the chance to see him recently at a comedy show when a comedy tour featuring him, D.L. Ughley, Cedric Entertainer,
George Lopez,
and Eddie Griffin. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, so sad. You know, he passed away. You know, he was only 57 years old, and, you know, I didn't even know he had leukemia, you know, much less, you know, passing away from it, you know, a few days ago. I remember finding out I was watching TV, and, you know, somebody on the show was mentioning, you know, he lost a bout of leukemia. I was like, no, you know, I was totally shocked. It hit me like a ton of bricks, because I didn't even know he was sick. So it was like totally out of left field. It came out of nowhere, you know. I was, like, totally shocked, you know. I mean, it's really sad, you know.
Yeah.
We're losing a lot of talented people, and people who seemingly, you know, were nice, you know, these past couple of years, you know, seemingly. But,
yeah,
you know, I hope he's in a better place, you know.
Yeah, he'll be missed, you know, and we could always remember him from his sketches on the Chappelle Show, and his his stand-up comedy. You know, he'll always be considered one of the goodest stand-up comics that we've ever seen.
Absolutely. Charlie Murphy.
Yep.
As, you know, Chappelle said in character of Rick James, you know. Man, you know, he'll definitely be missed. There'll never be, you know, another Charlie Murphy. And, you know, my condolences go out to, you know, Eddie and, you know, his, you know, nieces and nephews that he, you know, he have, you know, and the people who knew him personally who are, you know, dramatically affected, you know, firsthand, you know, his colleagues, you know, send out their love to him, you know, and of course his many, you know, his legion of fans, you know, all over the world. So, you know, my condolences go out to, you know, everybody who, you know, was affected by this untimely, you know, loss of life.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Absolutely. And, you know, stuff like this, you know, you got to appreciate life, you know, because we're here one moment and then we're gone the next. And, yeah, just, you know, reminds me of, you know, Good Friday. I mean, not to compare on that level, but, you know, Christ, you know, he didn't have to die. He lived a perfect life, but, you know, he chose to die on the cross, you know, so that anyone who believes in him will have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, face, you know, so they could be forgiven by God, and as a result, they'll never go to hell. So,
yeah,
you know, that's, you know, why, you know, Christians celebrate that day, you know, Good Friday, and then the resurrection, which tomorrow would mark the anniversary of that. And because he was resurrected, he lived. Because he died on the cross, we were able to live and have a better relationship with Christ. Because, you know, without him, we can't have a relationship with God. But, you know, with that said, you know, let's, you know, move on to some, you know, a lot worse, you know, storylines in sports. And, of course, you know, I'm talking about the Knicks. Finally, the merciful, brutal season of the Knicks is finally over. And, man, what can you say? The Knicks was 31-51. You know, we had so much promise with the team, you know, based on the offseason. You know, you had you signed Courtney Lee, who's supposed to be this defensive specialist, three-point threat, and, you know, of course, you know, we acquired Derrick Rose, who's talented. I mean, he had a good year with the Knicks, but, you know, he couldn't stay healthy, you know, and the biggest culprit, poster child of this horrible Knicks season is, of course, you know, the horrible contract, arguably the worst contract in Knicks history, if not in New York City sports, and that's Joakim Noah, a local guy. You know, he was supposed to be this big defensive stopper, and basically we got Jared Jeffries based on how he played.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we all know he never was a scorer, but you know, yeah, we thought that pick and roll with him and Derrick Rose would have been working a lot. And, you know, he would have been that presence down low. And, you know, injuries and bad play, it just plagued his Knicks career so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and not to mention he got suspended, you know, to end the season, you know, after he got surgery, you know, because he was he took a legal substance. So he was ineligible to play the last 8 game of the season. And then I think the next 10 or 12 games of to start off next year, he's going to finish out the rest of his suspension. So It's been a horrible year, and we didn't even get to the part with the whole soap opera surrounding, Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson, the team president, and I mean, it was horrible. And then, which also led to a rift with between the organization and Kristaps Porzingis, who didn't show up to the team exit meeting a few days ago as well. So, and we didn't even talk about the biggest thing that stemmed from the Knicks organization is the absolute betrayal and the banishment of Charles Oakley, that whole incident at the Garden, which if people didn't know, there was so much dysfunction in the Knicks organization. Just that the moment of, a Knick legend, a guy who played in the last glory years of the Knicks, even though they didn't win any, championships during that reign, but that was the last glory year of the Knicks. The Knicks, him, Starks, the late Anthony Mason, Patrick Ewing, I mean, the list goes on. They all, they played with all their heart and their emotions, and that's why the fans loved them. And to see one of your Warriors being dragged out of the place he practically built, the Garden, I mean, that's just disrespectful beyond words.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks right now, they have me so mad right now. It's like I almost want to turn my back from the Knicks and become a Nets fan. That's how bad the Knicks are making me mad right now, because you have a guy like Kristaps Porzingis who's mad right now because he's frustrated by the team, and he decided to skip out on these exit interviews, and he's also liked one of Carmelo Anthony's Instagram posts where Carmelo Anthony posts his after what Phil Jackson said about Carmelo Anthony not being right for the team, because he doesn't have chemistry with some of the guys, or he's not active on the court as he should be, and that he possibly has to go to another team where he can chase a championship. After Phil Jackson made those comments, Carmelo Anthony then went on Instagram and posted a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio from The Great Gatsby. It was a scene from with him in The Great Gatsby sitting down with a cane, and Carmelo Anthony just said one word, "Really?" And
yeah,
Porzingis liked the post, pretty much agreeing with what Carmelo Anthony said. So, I mean, this is not good for the Knicks right now. I mean, you have a 21-year-old superstar who's frustrated with the team, who possibly might not even be a Knick very soon. I mean, this is a guy we drafted, and he may want out soon if things don't change for the Knicks, And
absolutely.
That's a
absolutely
frustrating thing, because entering this season, we thought, hey, we got D Rose, we got Noah, we have some pieces and we could possibly make the playoffs. And then when the season starts, it's the same old Knicks from last year. And it's like, come on, man. Like, you get our hopes up, and then you just bring them down again. Like, playing with our emotions here as Knicks fans, It doesn't make any sense. And they're doing it the wrong way. Stop going after, veteran guys who are past their prime. Start getting younger. Start drafting better. And, get these guys to play better defense. We haven't seen real Knicks defense since the freaking 90s, man. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. The only time we had a decent team, post Patrick Ewing 2001, was basically 2013 when we had Tyson Chandler, Jason Kidd, and we lost in the Eastern Conference, finals to the Pacers.
Right.
Other than that, since from 2001, when we lost in five games to the Raptors, and these aren't your modern day Raptors that are like a legitimately powerhouse team that they are right now. These were the junkyard dog Vince Carter Raptors from back back in the days in 2001. Ever since then, the Knicks organization has been on a downward spiral. I mean, I remember to this day as a kid. Well, I was a teenager at the time. You know, I was like, man, because the Knicks were up until that point from the 90s, the Knicks were always deep into the playoffs. To see the Knicks get knocked out of the first round was like unforeseeable nightmare. And I remember that, and I just was thinking to myself, like, wow, this playoffs are really long. I never thought of it before because the Knicks were always deep into the playoffs. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to remember this. So that next year, you know, when we rebound from this, you know, and hopefully get a title, you know, we'll learn from this, you know, heartbreak. And to this day, we're still waiting for the Knicks to be mediocre. I mean, it's just a sad state of the Knicks right now. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, you know, the only good thing about this season was Willie Hernan Gomez and Kuzminskas. Rodden Baker had a few good games out of nowhere. But other than that, I mean, Porzingis, when he was healthy, I mean, he's kind of, you know, when he was healthy, I mean, he played decent, but he kind of took a step back. You know, he seemed like he hasn't emerged himself as a franchise player. You know, he looks like a number two player on a good team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's a sad state when your two top franchise players are disenfranchised with the franchise that they, you know, represent. And it's messed up. There is no hope. I mean, these four years we've been have 50 losses or more. And just a few years ago, we had the worst season statistically, the worst season ever. We lost 65 losses. And before that, we never had a 60-loss season. We've had 59 losses, like, at least twice prior to that. But, you know, this Phil Jackson error, which they just quietly, you know, picked up the last two options of his deal, it has been an utter joke. And like he said in his press conference, the buck stops here. Well, he better use the bucks that Dolan is giving him and fix this team. You know what I'm saying? And it's just a joke. And then Dolan apparently had an argument with a fan not too long ago when the fan told him that, you know, he should sell the team. I'm like, seriously, he was cursing the dude, saying like, oh, you know, he doesn't go to the guy's job and curse him. I'm like, dude, man, have a thick skin. You own the Knicks. The Knicks haven't been good since Moses parted the Red Sea and the Ten Commandments. Do something about it. Just roll up your sleeves and fix this team. You know what I'm saying? Gosh.
Yeah.
And then, here's the punishment. Did you hear this? The punishment is that they didn't allow him to renew his season tickets. Wow. That he should thank him. He should thank Dolan. At least he won't have to sit to a horrible Knicks game.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. I'm freaking frustrated with this team right now. And you know, if they do decide to trade Melo, you know, they better get some good picks or good players out of this. I don't want pennies out of this trade. You know,
I think the trade that they're gonna get for Melo is gonna be even worse than the Patrick Ewing trade we got in 2000, you know, in the offseason of 2001. I mean, this is it's really going to be bad because everybody knows they want Phil Jackson wants to get him out. So you're not going to get anything of value for him. You know what I'm saying? Not to mention he's been hurt. He's getting up there in age. He has 2 years left on his contract. Maybe on the final year of his contract, his walk year, maybe he'll get something back. But this off season, they're gonna trade him for nothing. Don't expect anything. I can't even tell you when the Knicks are ever gonna win a championship. I can't even tell you what century they're gonna win it, much less what year. I mean, it's. I can't even. The Knicks are not even mediocre. The Knicks are not even mediocre. The Knicks would have to win. Let me try to think in my head. They won what, 31? They would have to win what, 11 more games? 11 more games just to be mediocre. I mean,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
The Knicks are a sad state, and they haven't improved anything. You know, they've had some decent, they got some decent young guys who they, I mean, barely played. You know, they stuck to the veterans, even though they were out of it forever. But they haven't made any improvements as a team, collectively as a team. I don't see no light at the end of the tunnel at all. The only light at the end of the tunnel, you know, going to the Knicks game is a 18-wheeler coming right, barreling right down into the roster, because there is no hope. There is no hope. And I'm an optimistic Knicks fan. I'm an optimistic Mets fan. I know about losing. Trust me. I know about losing. But there is no hope for this. And I'm an optimistic person.
It's ridiculous.
It's sad. I could spend the whole day talking about this, but let's move on to a team with hope. And that is my Mets. You know, the Mets, you know, they've been playing well. They recently swept a series. Trying to remember who it was against. I think it was Phillies, if my memory serves. Yeah, it was Phillies. They swept Phillies at Philadelphia. They had one game where they hit 7 home runs. I mean, Citizens Bank Park is like City Field South, because the Mets owned that stadium. Cespedes had 3 home runs in that game. I think Duda had 2 in that one as well. And, you know, the Mets were riding high going into Miami. The first game Thursday night, the Mets, they blew a horrible, they were beat up badly, but then they bounced back and won in extra innings. I think 16 innings to be exact. And you know, they won a game they shouldn't have won when Darnold went deep in the 16th, which was the fourth highest, home run that they've hit in later innings. Because 3 other people, including Lenny Randle, hit a home run in the 17th inning in a Mets win. But after that, the next 2 games, Friday night and tonight, the bullpen blew it. And, you know, the overworked bullpen blew the game. And, you know, most notably Salas tonight. Salas, he's been money all year. This was literally his worst outing of his Mets season so far. DeGrom had a phenomenal game. He struck out 13. He went 7 innings, only threw 96 pitches. And obviously, the million-dollar question was, you know, why didn't Terry Collins leave DeGrom in the game? But he said that, you know, basically, you know, the bullpen's been overworked. But also DeGrom, he's young and he's trying to protect the arms. Salas up into tonight literally was lights out before tonight, before he gave up a 2-run home run to Yelich, which tied the game up because the Mets were leading 4-2 at the time. And then afterwards, I'm trying to remember. Then Stanton went back-to-back after Yelich to give them the lead, and that was all she wrote. The Mets went down quietly versus A.J. Ramos, and the Mets now have a 2-game losing streak. And tomorrow they're going to try to even the series and, you know, bounce back from, you know, from this series. It's like winning 5 straight games. But, you know, the Mets, they've been playing well. You know, Cespedes, you know, he's been on a tear. Bruce, he's been great as well. I mean, and Conforto, when he plays well. So the team, you know, for the most part, the starting pitcher has been playing well. The bullpen, for the most part, has been playing well as well. So, the Mets are in good shape. And speaking of another team in town in the Bronx, the Yankees, they're playing well as well. You
oh,
guys
yeah.
won five straight in a row, highlighted by the 3-2 victory tonight, where Clipper, I believe, saved the game in
yeah,
strong fashion.
Well, six games in a row now, and the pitching has been, you know, since we started season 2-4, the pitching has been excellent. You know, CeCe pitching like he's in his 20s again. You know, today he had a great outing. He pitched 7 1/3, and you know he held them to only one run, I think. And like you said, Clipper closed the game because we couldn't. Chapman, he couldn't close a game because I think he's pitched three games in a row or something to close the games out. So Clipper, he got into some trouble there in the ninth. Got two men on base, gave up a run, but he ended up closing the game. Yankees got some timely hitting. They won 3-2. They beat the Cardinals today. They beat them yesterday. So hopefully we could sweep them. This would be our second sweep on this homestand where we're currently 5-0. So, yeah, Yankees are playing well. I like the pitching. The bullpen's looking great, getting timely hitting. We just need to get, you know, some guys back. You know, Didi is currently out. Sanchez injured himself last week, so he's probably will be back early May. So, once we get those guys back, maybe they could add more to the offense because, you know, we don't want to have that stretch like we did last year where late in season offensively, you know, we struggle. So hopefully, you know, these guys can keep it up and maybe, you know, do some exciting things this year. I mean, fans are not expecting the Yankees to win the World Series this year, but, maybe get into the postseason and see what happens from there. So we'll see, but it's still early.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, the Yankees, you know, they like a friend of mine's called Macaulay. I don't know if you heard of that guy before. He always brags about the Yankees' aura and mystique. So, you can never count the Yankees out if they go to the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Historically have the resume to, you know.
Yeah, and I like the combination. I like the combination of having veterans and young guys right now and having a farm system where you can actually call up more young guys if needed. So, you know, Yankees are a balanced team right now. So they're playing well. Hopefully they can keep it up.
Yeah, they definitely have a strong, farm system. Arguably, a lot of people, it's the best, if not the, you know, or at minimum, the second best. So,
yeah,
you know, they ain't in good shape. You know, they got young guys, they got guys who are, you know, developing, and they're hoping that they could have the same success as the core four, plus Bernie Williams, which, you know, in actuality is really the core five, but, you know, they're hoping to have that success, and, you know, we'll see what happens when these guys, you know, develop more and spend more years together, you know, on the Bombers. So we'll see what happened with that.
Yeah, and I love this This Aaron Judge guy, he's going to be like Tony Clark. He has the height. You know, he's got the power. I'm telling you guys, he's the next great New York superstar. Watch out.
You'll be the judge of that.
Yep.
But, yeah, you know, unlike the basketball, you know, the Garden, you know, there's promise in New York with Conforto and Judge and you know, Sanchez, and then of course, you know, you got the young Met hurlers, you know, in Syndergaard, Mats, if he could stay healthy, Harvey, the Grom, Syndergaard, you know, the rest goes on and on. So, you know, there's a lot of promise with these young guys, you know, in the city of New York. So, you know, both teams, you know, to play to their potential and face each other in the World Series, but this time have a happy ending and have a much better ending, the exact opposite ending of the 2000 World Series, but we'll see what happens in the future if that happens. But I digress. Another team in New York that's on a championship aspirations is, of course, the New York Rangers. And, you know, right now they're tied 1-1 going into the Garden. I believe they're playing tomorrow night. And, you know, right now the series is tied 1-1. The Rangers won the first game 2-0 in Montreal. Lundqvist had a great game. He saved, I think, 31 games. You know, trying to remember. I think Grabner and Glass scored a goal in those games, if my memory serves me right. So, you know, they took that game from the Les Habitants, also known as the Montreal Expos. So, you know, they got that victory. And game two was a totally different situation. They were up 3-2 until the last, 17 seconds of the third period, and they gave up the goal. Lundqvist gave up the goal, and then they went to extra, you know, overtime, and then, you know, they gave up the goal again. And Rangers, they were this close to going to the Garden, up 2-0, and, you know, that was the twist of fate. Like the Hardy Boys, you know, they got the twist of fate. That last 17 seconds of the third period, you know, unfortunately, you know, Lundqvist, I think, had like a career-high 53 saves, but unfortunately, you know, he couldn't get these two saves late in the game, the end of the third period, and, of course, in the, you know, overtime. So now Rangers, you know, they're up. I mean, they're tied 1-1. I mean, you know, they would have definitely signed going to, you know, hostile territory in Montreal, being, you know, they would have definitely signed up for, you know, splitting in Montreal. But, you know, when you look at, you know, what could have been, you know, had Lundqvist, who's always reliable, you know, one of the greatest goalies of all time, you know, could have got these, you know, could have got those saves. What to do? I mean, he's human. You know, they could have been up 2-0, but, you know, what's done is done. You know, they just got to roll up their sleeve and win game three and, you know, win the rest of this series. So,
yeah.
What's your thoughts?
Yeah, hopefully Rangers. So game three is tomorrow night?
I believe so. I'm going to double check on that, but I'm pretty sure. I think it is tomorrow night, but I'll double check just to make sure.
Yeah, they have to win these next two games because, I mean, they've already won one on Montreal's home court. So they can win these two games in the Garden, then they're up 3-1 and have a great chance of advancing.
Yeah, let me just see to make sure. But I'm pretty sure they're playing tomorrow night. But I'm just going to, you know, make sure.
Okay.
Let's see. I know it's going to be at the Garden. And of course, you know, that's going to be a big game. Let's see. Yeah, game three is tomorrow night. Yep. It's going to be at 7 o'clock at the Garden. Then game four will be Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, still at MSG. Game three will be back in Montreal, and, you know, Rangers are hoping they could clinch the game, you know, this series in game five. But if not, that would be in Thursday night, April 20th. But if they can't clinch on game five, or if either of these teams can't clinch on game five, then there'll be game six Saturday night. They're going to be back at the Garden for game six, if necessary. And then decisive game seven would be Monday, April 24th, back at Montreal, if necessary. So, this is going to be a hard-fought series. I think this series is going to go all the way. But I'm hoping the Rangers can win this series in five.
Yeah, I'm
at the
hoping
very
so.
Minimum, Rangers in six, but Yeah, this is gonna be a this is a tough fought series, you know. It's really gonna, you know, it's gonna be interesting. Plus, you're gonna have that goaltending duel between Carey Price and Lundqvist. I mean, it's gonna, you know, this and you know, there's gonna be one for the ages. Not to mention, it's gonna be a rematch of these both of these franchises from a couple of years ago. So. A lot of history between these two franchises, these two original six franchises. So it should definitely be this series should continue to be an awesome one.
Yeah, it's should be a great series, and hopefully Rangers can win it at minimum five games, maybe six, because the Canadians are, you know, they're not a slouch over team.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're definitely not a slouch. No doubt about that for sure. So yeah, good luck with the Rangers for sure. But shifting gears WWE, the WWE superstars shake up. They might as well call it superstar. Shake up, shake down, take down. You know what I'm saying? It was like, it was confusing because the way they were hyping it up, it was like it was going to be a draft. And it was not. It was like people just pop up, and then it was like, okay, this person's on the show. But sometimes people pop up, and they still got traded. It was like, there was like no anything. I mean, I don't know about you.
Man, this Raw, I'd say it was one of the best Raws of the year, or maybe
one of
the best Raws since they did the switch. Since they did that draft of trading these players from SmackDown to Raw and Raw to SmackDown. I mean, you got new additions from SmackDown. You got Dean Ambrose is back on Raw now. You got Alexa Bliss,
right.
Bray
Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt.
I think he should have stayed on. I think he should have stayed on SmackDown. I mean, he should have stayed on SmackDown. I think he's gonna get buried. And apparently, there's rumors that Bray Wyatt isn't happy because apparently they promised him that he was gonna win the title back from Orton in the summer.
Well, he did get an appearance on SmackDown also. So what was that about?
Yeah, that was weird. Oh, he was hyping up their upcoming match. That they were going to, the House of Horror match, whatever the heck the name of that match was.
Okay.
But the rumors are, is as we all expect, Randy Orton's is going to retain it. So, you know, this goes back to the point I was making last week about they had a great opportunity to build Bray Wyatt as a strong, main event, opponent, you know, a championship caliber guy, but they made him into a transitional champion. So they really didn't utilize them as well as they should have. Now they have to rely on John Cena, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, Orton, you know, basically be champions, and of course, you know, Seth Rollins also. Because they haven't really developed like legit main event guys. You know, they're still relying on the same guys for the most part that they've been relying on for the past 5-10 years. If you want to go back with Cena and Orton, or if you even want to throw Triple H into that equation since he won the title last year, you know. So it's like. I spoke a lot about that last week, but, you know, it's just a shame that Bray Wyatt is not getting the opportunity that he should. I mean, he paid his dues, third-generational wrestler, and he could have been the most intimidating, you know, figure in WWE since The Undertaker, you know, but now he just looks silly because he talks smack. And when he gets a pay-per-view event, he loses. He's the anti-Undertaker, especially at WrestleMania. He's 0-3 as we speak. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of talent. And, you know, he has the gimmick has won fans over, you know, and I don't understand why they don't give him a title run, you know. I mean, he only had the title for a few months, which sucks. But
yeah, he had it like for like a month and change, and then they got rid of the title off of him for no apparent reason. And we spoke a lot about the match itself with the whole worms, you know, in the projected on the ring and all that stuff. You know, if you want to hear more about that, definitely check out, you know, last week's episode, folks. You know, I really ranted on that. But, yeah, it's just a, you know, messed up opportunity. I think he should stay because I think they're really going to bury him. Trying to think what else happened on the Raw shakeup. Alexa Bliss got shifted to the show. Charlotte went to SmackDown, you know, later on.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else happened. What else major thing happened?
On Raw, you had the, which I think was one of
the Braun Strowman.
Yeah, the Roman Reigns. That was Attitude Era moment there.
Attitude Era moment right there. The beatdown, my goodness. Beatdown on Roman Reigns. I mean, Roman Reigns is the unofficial villain of Raw. I mean, he comes out, WWE, man. I mean, they're doing a horrible job at making him get in cheers. They are like, he's getting the ultimate heat. I mean, he has more heat than the Authority right now. I mean, this guy, I mean, and then you're going to make him beat Undertaker? In the way how he did it, too, it was like he got – it was last week when he got booed, like, for, like, 15 minutes straight. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, this is not, like, wrestling heat. Like, I hate you type of heat.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. If this was old school, like, WCW, they would have threw garbage into the ring. I mean, it was, like, really – he couldn't even speak for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was like really, really WWE really dropped the ball on Roman Reigns. He's a talented guy, but they really made him overrated. You know, they haven't done well to hide his weaknesses, and you know they overused his best stuff, like the punch, Superman punch. I'm a fan of it, but he overdoes it too much. Like back during the Shield and like when he split up. He used it like once in a match. And now his entire offense is Superman punch, and then you know the spear. That's it. He's a two move wrestler. I think he occasionally does the Samoan drop also. He just basically does like 100 Superman punches in a match, and the spear and the spear. I like the way how Goldberg does the spear. Like, there's no setup to it. Like, he just does it. You know what I mean? Like, he just runs at you and hits you with the spear. Roman Reigns, he has to do, like, a rebound off the rope before he does it. Like when he hits